It's coming. A one-world religion, economy, and government with a satanic trinity.
The false prophet causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the false Christ. So here you see two persons of the unholy trinity. The false prophet causing the earth to worship the false Christ.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Radio for the Remnant. Brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with apologist Mike Gendron. Is a Roman Pope an apocalyptic player? Who will organize the coming one-world religion? What denominations will be a part of this religious system? Here is today's program.
Revelation chapter 13, verses 8 and 12. All who dwell on the earth will worship him referring to the beast, everyone whose name has not been written in the book of the life of the Lamb who has been slain. The false prophet causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the false Christ. So here you see two persons of the unholy Trinity, the false prophet causing the earth to worship the false Christ. So how will all this take place? The one world religion will be formed by a union of non-Christian religions with all professing Christians who have never been born again. And I hope you realize that there is a difference between professing Christians who have never experienced the second birth and those who have been called out of the world, sealed and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The non-born again Christians, the professing Christians, will be left behind when the rapture occurs, and they will be united with all the non-Christian religions of the world. So here you see three concentric circles. You have the true church of Jesus Christ, those who have been called out of the world, a people for God's name. They have been sanctified by the truth, sealed with the Holy Spirit, baptized by the Spirit into one body. But in the next circle, you see the professing church. This is made up of all those who have never experienced that second birth. And that would be liberal Protestants. It would be the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They profess to be Christians. And also many Roman Catholics who profess to be Christians but have never heard and believed the true gospel. Then you have all the world religions, the non-Christian religions. Once the Lord comes to take the true church home, this is all that's left. And so you will see a coming together in unity of these two circles. They would be united by tolerance and compromise to ultimately give their worship to the Antichrist.
Glad you can join me for today's Understanding the Times Radio. That clip of my guest, I chose to play it as it sets the stage for some of the discussion for the hour. And I have asked the question for years, is a pope an apocalyptic figure? Does a pope play a key end time role, such as false prophet? Some even say antichrist. What about the endless push for unity and heavily a unity appeal coming from Rome? Doesn't the Bible speak of unity, and doesn't the Bible urge unity? Why is it some Catholics are actually waking up and saying, enough of Pope Francis, and many Protestants think he is wonderful. He's trying to bring peace on earth. He's trying to clean up the planet. He's accepting of all people, even calling them Christians. Again, this coming from Protestants. How is it that some Catholics can see this and object, but many Protestants seem deceived? I'm going to talk to apologist Mike Gendron for the next several minutes. He heads Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. He was a Catholic for several decades, came to faith in Christ, went to seminary, now tries to minister to Catholics and to lead them out of the system they are in to become born again through Jesus Christ. Before I bring on my guest, Mike Gendron, just a heads up here that next week we'll look closely at the Ukraine situation. I'll hope to have both Michelle Bachman and Pastor Barry Stagner on air with me to offer analysis, a biblical perspective, and a prophetic perspective. This war is a huge concern to many, and rightly so. It appears Putin may want to retake his empire that dissolved over 30 years ago or more, and Ezekiel 38:39 certainly warns of a forthcoming war in which Russia is the major player. So that's next week, right here on Understanding the Times Radio. Mike Gendron, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan. It's always a great privilege to be on your show.
I'm going to have this discussion here morph into talk about the one world religion, again, the false prophet, the global government. But first, let me ask you just a couple of practical questions that I think many listeners have. Let me start with this one. Many Catholics would say they are Christians. They believe in Jesus Christ. They believe he died on the cross for them. They believe they are sinners. They very likely repent of sins weekly during the communion service to the best of their knowledge, Mike. They love God. Why would you say they just might not be ready for eternity?
Well, it really goes back to the Reformation when the Reformers began reading the Word of God. They realized that the Roman Catholic plan of salvation was salvation by grace plus merit, faith plus works, Christ plus other mediators, Scripture plus religious tradition, and glory was going to God as well as to Mary and the saints. So the Reformers recognized from reading the Scriptures that that was not true, that we are saved by faith alone, through grace alone, and Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, all for the glory of God alone. That's the difference between Roman Catholicism and their dogma of salvation and the biblical plan of salvation. The word alone is so important, and we see that in Scripture. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, where Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, so that no man may boast." He accentuates that in Romans 11:6, "If it is by grace, it is not of works, otherwise grace is not grace." Jan, I'm sure every Roman Catholic would agree that they are saved by grace through faith in Christ, but they believe that their works come into play as part of their justification, and so they need to repent of their dead works and put their faith in Christ alone.
And then would infant baptism play into that as well?
Yes, Roman Catholicism teaches a sacramental salvation, that baptism is the sacrament of regeneration and the sacrament of justification. This is where a Catholic gets its new life in Christ. Unfortunately, Catholics don't realize that babies who are baptized, they don't have the capacity to put their faith in anything. So they're saved apart from faith through a sacrament, and then later on, they have to put their faith in Christ. But that's not the assurance of salvation. The Catholic Church does not teach eternal life. It teaches conditional life. Catholics can only get to heaven if they die in the state of grace. And of course, we know from the gospel that the very promise of the gospel is eternal, everlasting life with Christ. Once you're born again, you belong to him forever. That's the difference between the Roman Catholic plan of salvation and the biblical path. We believe it's Christ alone. We have to come to the cross with empty hands of faith. We can bring nothing but our sins. Christ takes our sin, all of our guilt, all of our punishment, and in return, he gives us his perfect righteousness, and that's our passport into heaven, which is why 2 Corinthians 5:21 is my favorite verse in Scripture. "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And that's the greatest exchange any human could ever experience, my sin for his righteousness.
Transitioning here to Pope Francis himself, let me ask you this. Pope Francis is indeed an unconventional person and pope. Why was he chosen? This pope goes against historical Catholic theology. Why do they let him stay? Do they know he's an apocalyptic player, or this is an apocalyptic role? He's featured on the cover of a gay magazine. Homosexuals love him. He preaches a false gospel. Everything is about saving the planet, not saving souls. So why do you think they even chose him?
Well, it really gets into the Roman Catholic Church's role in the end times. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ will not return to the earth until the whole world becomes Roman Catholic. That is the goal of the Roman Catholic Church, is to bring all separated brethren, that would be Protestants and Evangelicals, back home to Rome for the fullness of salvation. Pope Francis is a Jesuit. He is a universalist. In spite of the teaching of Christ, Pope Francis believes that God will save all people. He said, and I quote, "The Lord has redeemed all of us with the blood of Christ, not just Catholics, everyone, even the atheist. The blood of Christ has redeemed us all." In order to advance the Roman Catholic agenda of making the whole world Roman Catholic so that Christ will return, they appointed Pope Francis, who is a universalist, to head up the Roman Catholic Church.
The false prophet is described in Revelation 13. He is also referred to as the second beast. And together with the Antichrist and Satan, who empowers both of them, the false prophet, is the third party in the unholy trinity. So we hear a lot about the office of Pope going to fill the role of false prophet. That's accepted in evangelical circles that that's a possibility. We don't know for sure. Let me just read two paragraphs by Roger Oakland, former Catholic, and then come back and ask you a question. Roger says, according to Bible prophecy, a one-world religion that will offer the promise of peace throughout the world is going to commence prior to Christ's return. To most, this global body will seem like a wonderful thing and very possibly will be a pseudo-Christianity coming in the name of Christ. However, contrary to how the masses will view it, it will actually help establish and set up the Antichrist and his one-world government. One more paragraph. Oakland says, in order for this to happen, all religions must come together in an ecumenical plan. And folks, they are really doing that today, big time. He says, today, as part of this satanic scheme, the evangelical/Protestant church is being drawn seductively into the Roman Catholic Church, largely through what we call the Jesuit agenda. Incredibly, while the evidence is obvious to some, the majority of proclaiming Christians are not at all aware it is happening. So what should we expect if we are in the time when such a system unfolds? First, many who once were Protestant and evangelical will become ecumenical. Second, all religions will unite in solidarity of purpose. And then he concludes, understanding the Jesuit agenda is essential if we are to understand how this worldwide deception will come about. Mike, help us understand what is the Jesuit agenda. And of course, Pope Francis is a Jesuit.
Yes, he's the first Jesuit pope, and you have to go back 500 years. That's when the Jesuits were commissioned by the pope in 1540. They were commissioned to do whatever it took to end the Protestant Reformation. So in a sense, they were the armed militia of the Roman Catholic Church, and their main purpose was to defeat Protestantism and regain worldwide papal rule. Down through the centuries, they've achieved this through education, through social programs, through charity, infiltration into government and medicine, and also wickedness. If you look at the history of the Jesuits, you'll see that they're known for their deception, for their spying, for assassinations and revolutions to the point where 83 countries had them expelled. Jan, it's also important to know that by 1773, the order had been abolished because of their horrible reputation of bloodiness, deception, immorality. But then they were reinstated fully in 1814 by Pope Pius VII. When they were reinstated, they changed their method of operation. Now they're building schools and hospitals, and they're seeking a more friendly approach through assimilation. Their propaganda in schools has promoted Roman Catholicism throughout the world.
One who speaks out very articulately, and he has no Catholic background, is my friend Amir Sarfati. He has a Jewish background. Has an incredible message on the coming one world religion, the one world government, the unity that's going on. I want to play a short clip of Amir, and then I want to come back and discuss it, because here he's talking about the great harlot. This all comes out of the book of Revelation heavily.
Collaboration with the efforts to create the one world government. We can see in September 25th of last year, nationalism must not prevail, Pope said, in addressing the United Nations. Pope is saying nations and nationalism is the thing of the past. Leaders should not take care of their own nations anymore. Nationalism must not prevail. We must look at things from a global perspective. He said in a meeting with world leaders in 2019, the common good has become global. And the terminology he's using has become global. We are getting there. He's stating a fact. What was is no longer. What is right now is new, and I am ready to be part or to take some sort of leadership in this new thing. The current situation of globalization, not only of the economy, but also the technological and cultural exchanges, the nation state is no longer able to procure the common good of its population alone. Look what he's saying, your government is not good. The nation state is something of the past. It cannot take care of problems anymore. The common good has become global, and nations must associate for their own benefit. If you want to benefit, You must associate in the global effort. So what is a one world religion? A one world religion is when the entire world will reach a point where they worship the same way the wrong thing. Revelation 17, verses 1 to 6. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot." Look at the strong words the Bible is using about that religion. "Who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication." It's not purity. It's not the word of God. It's not righteousness. It is fornication. Leaders of the world will be part of that, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. People will not be able to think right. Drunkenness is when you are unable to control yourself anymore. "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold." Look, these are the colors that are being used in the Vatican today. And talking about seven hills, Rome is known as the city sits on the seven hills. And look what he says, "adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication." The Bible is describing a world religious system that is full of abomination and fornication. It has nothing to do with God. Religion of inclusion, with the exception of those who follow Jesus. This is a description of the Great Tribulation.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line apologist Mike Gendron. Mike, in that closing sentence there, Amir Sarfati emphasized a religious system that has nothing to do with God, only inclusion.
He's spot on. I'm just amazed how accurate he was. It's really interesting because the Roman Catholic Church identifies with the harlot of Revelation and her relationship with the kings of the earth. He quoted Revelation 17, but in verse 18 it says, "the woman who you saw in the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." So it's this harlot religion that seduces government leaders with her religious power. Jan, historically, there's only been one global religion that has a history of riding the backs of kings. Beginning in the 4th century, Constantine made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. Many pagans and their traditions entered the church with no call to repentance or faith. Many would say that this was the genesis of the Roman Catholic Church and its deliberate step into apostasy. Well, since then, the Catholic religion has continued its alliances with kings, presidents, emperors, dictators. In fact, historically, popes have used their armies and navies to defeat other kingdoms and to build their own. It's really interesting how the Catholic Church identifies with the harlot of Revelation.
You write, and this would be under the category of could a pope be the false prophet or the antichrist? That's my question. But I'm picking up a quote from something you've written in one of your newsletters, and you say this: "Many have said the papacy is the seat of antichrist because he usurps God's infallibility, condemns all who believe God's gospel, and receives worship that is due only to God. The reformers knew the harlot better than anyone since they all came out of the apostate religion. They knew Catholicism was the ungodly harlot and a bitter enemy to the bride of Christ." You say Luther exposed the papacy, saying, "The pope is the very antichrist who has exalted himself above and opposed himself against Christ because he will not permit Christians to be saved without his power. To lie, to kill, and to destroy body and soul eternally, that is where his papal government really consists." Then you quote Charles Spurgeon said, "It is the duty of every Christian to pray against Antichrist, and if it is not the popery in the Church of Rome, there is nothing in the world it can be." Mike, we need to clarify that this hour, because it sounds like this is a huge attack against Catholic people, and it isn't, by the way, and you need to clarify that your ministry, by the way, the title of his ministry is Proclaiming the Gospel, this is not an attack on Catholic people.
Not at all, Jan. In fact, when the Lord saved me, one of the first things I realized was there's only two things that are eternal in this life, and that is the Word of God and the souls of men. And I have a great compassion for Roman Catholics who are where I was. I believed I belonged to the one true church. It wasn't until I was confronted with the truth of God's word that I realized I was woefully deceived about my salvation. It was at that point where I dedicated the rest of my life to reaching Roman Catholics with the gospel of Christ. I can't reach everyone, so what we do is we go around the world. We equip the body of Christ to be effective and faithful witnesses to this huge mission field. And it's my love for Roman Catholics that motivates me to do this, because there's nothing more serious in this life than to be wrong about eternal destinies. We really need to make sure that the body of Christ is actively pursuing this huge mission field. There's a lot of confusion, as you know, Jen, because many evangelicals have signed unity accords with Catholics. Many people don't know if it represents a mission field or if they're already our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Folks, I'm taking some paragraphs from his newsletter, and you can learn more or reach out to Mike at proclaimingthegospel.org. And I'm still on this global religion because I do believe it's being formed as we speak. You say the papacy's push for a global religion will meet very little resistance after the rapture of the church, when the Lord Jesus returns to take all born-again Christians to heaven. Then that lawless one will be revealed, that is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of the wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, so as to be saved. For this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-11. Who are the ones who did not receive the love of the truth? They are those who rejected God's gracious offer of salvation through faith alone, in the finished work of Christ alone. And then you conclude, all religions, with the exception of true biblical Christianity, are united in their outright denial of salvation by grace alone. So this global religion, Mike, and I'm going to play a clip or two further about this, is clearly being formed as we speak.
Sure it is, and I don't want your listeners to miss what you said. The common bond that will unite all the religions of the world is that every one of them believes in a works righteousness salvation. Doesn't matter what religion you belong to, they are taught that you must do things to appease your God. Biblical Christianity is set apart from all the religions of the world because we're saved by grace alone and Christ alone. That's where the differences lie. It's a major difference, but it's also the common bond for global unity. Vatican Council II stated the Catholic Church endeavors to gather all people in all things into Christ so as to be for all an inseparable sacrament of unity. Jan, that is their goal, and we need to make sure your listeners are aware that they will stop at nothing to unite all people. They go so far as to say that Protestants cannot have the fullness of salvation until we return home to Rome to receive the Eucharist. In Catholic theology, the Eucharist is the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. He's been called down from heaven by Roman Catholic priests to be transubstantiated into a wafer. We must go back to Rome in order to have the fullness of salvation. That is the calling card for Protestants to return.
One more clip here. This is Amir Sarfati again, and he is talking about the general theme of this hour, and that's this coming one world religion.
I believe that there is an existing religion that is ready to be as a shell for something new that is being injected into it. And I'm talking about the Catholic Church. This is the only one that fits the bill of all the descriptions of the Book of Revelation. The Catholics never, ever looked at themselves the way we call them, Roman Catholics. Catholicism did not start in Rome. It started in Constantinople, in what Istanbul is today. And the word Catholic means universal. It means it belongs to everyone. The Catholic Church today, and for the last at least 7-8 years, maybe more, we see an unbelievable concentrated effort with hundreds of millions of dollars that are being poured into it to reach out to every part of world population in order to bring them all under a new concept of the Catholic Church. Islam is not trying to reach the whole world. Judaism is not trying to reach the whole world. But Roman Catholicism is. In 2019, there was a visit of the Pope to Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates, and the Pope and the Grand Imam signed a historic pledge of fraternity. And in that historic pledge of fraternity, it says, in the name of God, who has created all humans being equal in rights, duties, and dignity, and who has called them to live together as brothers and sisters, to fill the earth and make known the values of goodness, love, and peace. I don't think I found Jesus there. I don't even think I saw that He is the only way, truth, and life. I don't understand where it says here that you should be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, all that I just said is the words of Jesus. The assumption that we're all good people and can live in great harmony is almost like going back to the Tower of Babel and saying, make a name for ourselves.
Mike Gendron, you want to comment on that?
He's spot on. I just wish that more Christians would become aware of the Roman Catholic agenda, and they would recognize that Roman Catholics need to hear the gospel in order to be saved. They have another Jesus. They have another gospel. They're influenced by another spirit. Jan, I'm not saying this to be offensive to Catholics. In fact, I would encourage them to read the Word of God, and then they will find out that the only way to be saved is through the all-sufficient, finished, and perfect work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Catholics instead continue the work of redemption on an altar, believing that the priest has the power to call Jesus down to be sacrificed on the altar as a victim for the sins that they committed in the previous week. It's a different Jesus, it's a different gospel, and we know from Galatians 1:6-9, Paul said, if anyone comes preaching another gospel, they are to be anathema, they are to be condemned, turned over to God for destruction. The whole Roman Catholic system is under condemnation, and we need to rescue these precious souls out from under that religious system, and the only way we can do that is by sharing and proclaiming the glorious gospel of grace.
Here's where I want to go in part two of my programming. I want to talk a little bit more about this whole globalist agenda. We hear a lot about the World Economic Forum. I talk about it almost every week on this program, and that's on the horizon. How does the Catholic Church and any pope fit into that whole agenda? And I raised a headline when I spoke with Pastor Tom Hughes a month or two ago, a headline that read, Pope Francis may be a pope in search of a partner. Oh my goodness, that's a Catholic magazine back a few years ago now. There's just a lot more to talk about. What about all of this push for unity? And what about Archbishop Carlos Vigano? We're going to reference him as time allows. Isn't he kind of a good guy? He gets it a whole lot better than some evangelicals get it. Well, we got to be careful. So we'll give a little warning there when we come back. Don't go away. I'm coming back in just a minute or two.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this unstable, chaotic world that is groaning to be free, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. We are carrying a new and timely product produced by Pastor Billy Crone, a DVD set entitled, Are You Ready for the Rapture? A 9-DVD set. Laugh, mock, and scoff all you want, but if there's one thing the Bible is clear about, millions of people, specifically Christians, will suddenly disappear from this planet in an immediate flash of events. They will be raptured straight into heaven itself by the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, most of our world not only ignores this profound biblical truth, including God's warning to not be left behind, but sadly, even those who profess to be Christians today act like it won't happen anytime soon. Therefore, this study, Are You Ready for the Rapture?, seeks to equip you with the many biblical truths concerning this supernatural departure. Find it in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. It will also be offered in our print and e-newsletter. Sign up online.
You're seeing all of these people come together for everything outside of religion because they know religion divides. But if we can unite people on global health and on climate control, then that would be the agenda toward promoting religious unity.
Are you taking advantage of all that Olive Tree Ministries has to offer, from live streamed events to daily headlines and articles, an active online store, archived radio programs, and more? Visit our website for all details, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Now here are Jan Markell and Mike Gendron to wrap up today's programming.
The election of Pope Francis was groundbreaking. The first Jesuit, a non-European, he's vowed to live simply amid the splendors of the Vatican. And in comments published today, Francis continues to shake things up. He says there's been too much emphasis on issues such as abortion and homosexuality, and that the church needs to become a home for all. Chris Brown reports.
In pews and cathedrals around the world, Catholics are weighing in on some startling new comments from their Pope.
Well, it's very major, really.
Kevin Simpson is a gay Catholic from Vancouver.
He is very non-condemnatory. He welcomes dialogue, it seems. And we hope that's the case in terms of homosexuality.
Whereas Pope Francis's predecessor made headlines for calling homosexuality a disorder, in a wide-ranging magazine interview, the new pope suggested the church should effectively ease off on that and other contentious issues. We cannot insist only on issues related to abortion, gay marriage, and the use of contraceptive methods. This is not possible, he said. The pope suggested the church shouldn't be so quick to condemn and must be more welcoming. We have to find a new balance, he said.
He's very specifically saying, we no longer focus on these issues. This should not be our core message. And he's sending that not only to the world, but as I say, he's sending it to every parish priest in every village and every city across the world.
Indeed, a month ago, chatting with reporters on his plane, the Pope signaled his change in tone.
Se una persona è gay e cerca il Signore e ha buona volontà, ma chi sono io per giudicarla?
Of course, the Pope did not say it's okay to be gay, nor that he was in favor of women priests, which more conservative commentators are quick to underscore.
In other words, whatever the church teaches about abortion, gay marriage, or contraception, he doesn't deny. And he's not changing anything, so there's no breaking story here.
Vancouver parishioner James Schaefer would like to see the Pope go even further in welcoming gays, but he's pleased with what he heard today.
I think he's doing as well as he can. I don't think it's going to be a very easy march for him either. I've just come back from the United States, and that's a pretty conservative church down there.
Indeed, some U.S. bishops have said they're disappointed with the new tone and would like the Pope to speak out more forcefully on issues such as abortion. Today, Pope Francis appeared to signal that's not his plan.
Welcome back. We're continuing here for the hour, talking to apologist Mike Gendron. Learn more at his website, proclaimingthegospel.org. He's got lots of tools there for you to use if you are, in fact, trying to minister to Catholics in your life. Just a quick couple of comments here about all the hijacking going on our social media. A reminder to our thousands of followers on YouTube, there are up to 1,000 stolen videos of ours on YouTube, many of them many years old and outdated. They're posted in audio only while we post a video version of the program. You do not want to listen to these folks. They're stolen. So help us by, you could even write Google and YouTube and protest this terrible fraud going on. It's intended to do this ministry great harm. Watch our video version on our website, olivetreeviews.org, and then to complete archives, you can watch it on Rumble, Light Source, his channel, Christian Television, or on our social media platforms. We remain on YouTube, but you cannot trust it any longer because of this kind of hijacking. Sorry to have to keep saying that. I'm doing that because of the volume of emails and calls we're getting from confused people. Now, I want to move on here into the conclusion of my conversation with apologist Mike Gendron. Mike, putting things all together here, Pope Francis with his, I'm going to be blunt, his Marxism, his environmentalism, his push for the New World Order, global government, sustainable development, the Jesuit agenda, a unity of faiths, a global constitution, a global court. These are things he's pushing for, a departure from Catholic traditions. Is this unusual? You know the Pope going back in history, but is this not highly unusual?
In recent history, it is. And we have to keep in mind that the Pope is in a very strategic position. He's not only the religious leader of 1.3 billion Roman Catholics, but he's also a sovereign ruler of a nation. He's the sovereign ruler of the Vatican City, and that's why he's got ambassadors from all the nations of the world that pay him visits each year. He's got his hand on everything that's going on, both politically and religiously. We talked about how his strong push for globalism includes a supranational, legally constituted body to enforce sustainable development. He's calling for all the nations to abandon their national sovereignty in a common effort to save the earth. We're seeing this push not only for a global government, but also for a global religion, and we know right behind that is a global economy.
Well, you say of all the popes throughout history, Pope Francis has had the most aggressive agenda to unite all professing Christianity and all the religions of the world together. He has been building bridges and suppressing Catholic doctrine in his global pursuit of unity. You say Francis asked that we open ourselves to each other and unite as human beings and as brothers and sisters with those who pray according to other cultures, other traditions, and other beliefs. You say he is seeking full fellowship with brothers and sisters of other religions. Many of his bizarre theological statements and pronouncements have been an attempt to suppress doctrines that would prevent unity. Clearly, he has proven to be one of the most egregious false prophets of all popes throughout history. That's a strong statement.
Well, it truly is. He has really divided the Roman Catholic religion because he's got conservatives now that recognize he's going against historic Roman Catholicism. They would also call him a false prophet. But we know that when you compare and contrast what he teaches with the authority of God's word, it's undeniable that he is a false prophet who teaches a false gospel that really leads 1.3 billion people down the wide road to destruction. By the authority of Scripture, we can say, yes, he is a false prophet. And in Revelation 13, we see the false prophet performs great signs. He even makes fire come down from heaven to the earth. Well, Roman Catholicism believes they have the power to call the Almighty God and Savior Jesus Christ down from his throne in heaven to be offered again on an altar. Which is a greater power, to call fire down from heaven or to call the omnipotent God back down to continue what he finished on the cross? He definitely is a false prophet. He steals titles from the triune God. He calls himself a humble person, but he steals the title Holy Father, and head of the church and vicar of Christ. He robs Christ of his power over souls. He usurps God's infallibility, daring to say that when he sits in the chair of Peter, he can be infallible himself. And ultimately, the greatest issue of his position as false prophet is he condemns everyone who believes God's gospel. He not only preaches another gospel, but there's over 100 anathemas from the Council of Trent that condemn all born-again Christians. Our desire is to see Roman Catholics exchange their religion for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not condemning Roman Catholics. We're just pleading with them to open the Word of God, see for yourself the glorious gospel of grace, repent and believe it, and then you too can exchange your religion like the Apostle Paul did for a relationship with Christ. I encourage Catholics to look at Philippians 3, and you can see the resume of the Apostle Paul. If anybody had reason to boast in his religion, it was Paul. And yet in the end, he said, I consider all of this rubbish, and he exchanged his righteousness for the righteousness of Christ. And that's what we're calling all Roman Catholics to do. Exchange your religion for a relationship. And that relationship is eternal. It's everlasting. You have the assurance of being with Christ in heaven.
I'm going to play one more clip here of Amir Sarfati. And the new mantra that's coming down the pike, folks, is all going to be about climate change. So just get prepared. Let's listen to Amir.
On January 31st, 2021, it says, Biden and Pope Francis could make a climate change miracle. You see, it's no longer about the Bible, it's no longer about the gospel, it's no longer about Jesus, it's about climate change now. And speaking of global authority and climate change, Pope Francis called for a global government to tackle the climate change agenda. Pope Francis declares climate emergency and urges action. I mean, I don't remember anything like that before, where the church is doing everything but church. What is more amazing way to bring the whole world together than climate change? Think about it. Terrorism failed because terrorism brought countries together. After the Twin Towers fell, it was President Bush that came to the rubble, and how was he accepted? USA, USA, it's the US flag. Everybody rounded around the flag of the United States. It didn't really help bringing the world together. It brought the Americans together. If terrorism is not working and wars are not working, then what else can we choose to bring the whole world under one government if not something that affects the whole world at the same time in the same way? And of course, climate change is the one. And the Pope is not missing an opportunity to be a leading force in all of these things. Look what he says in 2019. Future generations stands to inherit a greatly spoiled world. Our children and grandchildren should not have to pay the cost of our generation's irresponsibility. Indeed, as is becoming increasingly clear, young people are calling for a change. Make no mistake, I have no problem with taking care of planet Earth. I'm trying to show that the Catholic Church emptied itself from the doctrine and is filling itself with everything else.
Mike Gendron, could the New World religion be centered on climate?
Very possibly. Everything that was just said is spot on, but I also want to inform your listeners that Pope Francis also has his hand in global health, which will be another reason to bring global unity. Him and Joe Biden continue to carry out the globalist agenda to create a one-world religion and a one-world government by using their tools for complete control of the masses through the Great Reset and also a digital health and economic identification system. Jan, a lot of people don't realize that Dr. Anthony Fauci was also Jesuit-trained.
That's right.
And the Pope had this global conference on health. He invited Chelsea Clinton and the CEOs of pharmaceutical manufacturers, and both Fauci and Pope Francis are disciples of the Jesuits, along with Dr. Robert Redfield, the former head of the CDC, and also ecumenist Dr. Francis Collins, head of the NIH. More than 100 speakers came to this global health conference. Some of them hold views diametrically opposed to the Catholic Church's teachings, including the New Age guru Deepak Chopra.
Yes.
And so you're seeing all of these people come together for everything outside of religion because they know religion divides. But if we can unite people on global health and on climate control, then that would be the agenda toward promoting religious unity.
Very well said, Mike. That's so important. Because I just see the next crisis coming down the pike. Well, obviously it's been health, no question about that. But climate lockdowns possibly coming next, the whole climate crisis, which we know the Bible says only God controls the climate, but that's not what the unbelieving world seems to be thinking. I call the Pope the vicar of the New World Order. And just quoting here real briefly, Gary Kaa in one of his recent magazines, he says this, "Throughout 2021, Pope Francis has continued to strongly push the globalist ideals, demonstrating his support for the UN's One World Goals in every spectrum of influence, whether in the area of COVID-related health matters, climate change, economics, politics, or religion. This Pope has weighed in, exerting his influence upon the faithful and anyone willing to listen." Then he says, "The opening day of the United Nations Climate Summit, the pontiff urged people to pray so that the cry of the earth would be heard at the summit. And today in Glasgow, Scotland, the UN summit on climate change is starting. Let us pray so that the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor will be heard and that this meeting may give effective answers, offering concrete hope to future generations." This push for one world and climate agenda, etc. Your comment, please.
The Pope is pushing towards an ecological citizenship of the world, and it's all based on sustainability. That is something every citizen in the world is concerned about.
Yeah.
He's really picked a good agenda to unite the world, both spiritually. Of course, all unbelievers are already united spiritually. but to unite the world in a global religion as well as a global government. It's really interesting, too, Jan, to note that the two most powerful Catholic people in the world today are Pope Francis and Joe Biden. We know that they've gotten together and they've discussed a lot of what we've said. They're both up there in age, so we can only speculate whether or not we're in the season of the Lord's return and who comes after them.
The Pope says that Mr. Biden is a good Catholic. This is stunning. Mr. Biden is an enemy of the gospel. He's certainly very, very pro-abortion. What is behind him being told he's a good Catholic?
It's because the Pope recognizes he needs Joe Biden to accomplish his agenda. He doesn't want to alienate him. So what he does is he turns his back on his pro-abortion stance and he says he's a good Catholic.
Mike Gendron, I'm just going a little bit different direction here, and I'm quoting you because you say, again, this is in one of your newsletters, and I'd like you to comment. You say that the pro-life movement has been one of Rome's most effective tools for deceiving Protestants into ecumenical alliances and has led many astray. And yet, Mike, you would agree the pro-life movement is so important. So how do we justify what you've just said here?
This is one of the reasons why the Evangelical and Catholics Together Accords mm-hmm. have been so popular and so many evangelicals have signed on, because we do share co-belligerency in the fight against abortion and the sanctity of marriage. But we have to keep in mind that according to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18, that we cannot have unity with unbelievers. Yes, we can be co-belligerents together and fight these social and moral wars together, but when you include the gospel in these unity accords, then that is off limits because the Roman Catholic gospel is antithetical to the gospel that we see so gloriously revealed in Scripture. Yes, let's fight together as co-belligerents, but let's not unite around the gospel because their gospel is gospel that is added to the perfect, finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's another gospel, and we cannot unite with a gospel that is under condemnation from Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Jan, I think it's important to note that as we fight these wars as co-belligerents, we need to recognize that Pope Francis is a universalist who denies the existence of hell.
Yes.
He's daring to say that everyone is a child of God. This, again, is drawing many people into the Roman Catholic Church. He's also at the point where many of the people that follow him are redefining sin. There was a recent announcement that one of the cardinals has now chosen to consider the church's assessment on homosexuality as a sin incorrect, and he's called for a fundamental revision of church teaching. And this is all based on what we heard earlier, that the Pope saying there is no homosexuality in the New Testament. Then we also see in Germany, gay Roman Catholic priests are coming out and demanding for the world to see the true diversity of the Roman Catholic Church and to demonstrate that the body of Christ is wonderfully queer. So you see, the Catholic religion is trying to be all things to all people so that they can gather all the people of the world together mm-hmm. under the power and influence of the papacy. We need to be able to see through this and to see that not only is the Pope against the Lord Jesus Christ, he's against his gospel, and we need to contend earnestly for the purity and the exclusivity of the gospel.
You are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. Have on the line Mike Gendron, ProclaimingTheGospel.org, ProclaimingTheGospel.org. As I said a few minutes ago, Mike, there's an intriguing archbishop out there. I've quoted him on this program. Archbishop Carlos Vigano. Many are quoting him. As a matter of fact, you were at a prophecy conference and someone quoted him, and I have once or twice anyway. Why? Because number one, he understands the push towards globalism more than probably most evangelical Protestants. He speaks out against Pope Francis. He warns that the World Economic Forum is behind all the turmoil in the world, which is true. He calls out the global elite. Give him credit for that. He warns of the Great Reset. Vigano warns of the destruction of capitalism that's coming. He seems to understand at least portions of the Book of Revelation. Yet you say that he is secretly all about ecumenism, that he may understand the end time scenario, I think, better than many pastors may understand it who will not address it. But you are issuing a word of warning about Archbishop Vigano.
Yes, and rightfully so. He knows, as do all the other ecumenists, that there can never be unity between believers and unbelievers between Roman Catholics and evangelicals and Protestants over the gospel, because the Roman Catholic Church would be the first to admit that they have a different gospel than we do. In fact, they've condemned us with all of their anathemas from the Council of Trent. So there cannot be common bond on the gospel. So what do? Is they look for other common themes. And this is their purpose of trying to seek unity. Let's put aside the gospel for a moment. Let's come together to fight globalism, to fight climate change. Their agenda is moving forward because there's a lack of discernment in the body of Christ. And it goes back to what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6:14-15. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? This is their agenda. Put aside the gospel and let's seek unity on everything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Then you are saying folks should turn off Archbishop Vigano?
He has some good points politically. We test his politics with the politics that we follow, just like we test his religious teachings with the supreme authority of God's word. Every man needs to be tested, and fortunately we have an infallible source for truth that we can test everything against. And that's what I would encourage all of your listeners to do, is to test every man's teaching. If his politics line up with yours, then you can embrace that. But don't embrace him because his gospel is totally different from our gospel.
Okay. I think the question of the hour I opened the program with, and that is, could a pope fill the role, the position, the office of false prophet? We don't know. And folks, the Bible discourages us from trying to pin the tail on the Antichrist and false prophet. Nonetheless, I think it's fascinating to consider some of these things. And again, Mike, I have a headline in front of me. It's 4 years old. Pope Francis may be a pope in search of a partner. And then paragraph underneath the headline, when a strong pope with a clear social agenda intersects with a world leader who shares the same basic outlook and one who's willing to put elbow grease behind it, sometimes history can change. The question facing the pope is this: who's the political partner who could help him move the ball? I think that begs the question, could he eventually a pope? Maybe not Pope Francis, he is aging. He would be well into his 90s by the time the tribulation would be gearing up and then winding down. But could the office of pope be that of a false prophet? And I think you would concur that that would be possible.
Sure. We know that according to prophecy, the last days will be marked by a world ruler with great political power and also with the activity of Satan. But we also know that he's not alone. He has a partner who is a false prophet. In fact, the final false prophet. There have been many false prophets. We see that he's a religious leader, and he will unite all the people into this satanic global religion. The false prophet will cause the world to worship the Antichrist as if he were God. That's the role of the false prophet, is to point people to a man who claims to be the Christ. We can only wonder if the papacy will be the office of the final false prophet. Jan, I think if we're in the season of the Lord's return, there is no office on this earth that has more influence throughout the world. And the Pope, by his own declaration, is infallible when it comes to speaking about faith and morals. He's got a good portion of the world already believing that when he sits on the chair of Peter, he cannot err. The stage is set. We know that it's the Lord's timing. It's not Satan's timing. And so Satan always has to have his men on the earth in prominent positions. And if it's not Pope Francis, then I believe that he's been appointing bishops that share the same common agenda that he does.
He could have handpicked some bishops who think exactly like he does.
Exactly. When you look at these last two popes, Pope Benedict and Pope Francis, they are so opposite. As you know, Pope Benedict was a doctrinal guru. He wrote the catechism. He was not pastoral, which I believe is why he stepped down. Pope Francis is pastoral, but he is not dogmatic and he's not doctrinal. Now I think the Pope is appointing all these bishops to be cardinals so that when he dies, that someone of like mind will take his place and continue his aggressive agenda to unite the world religiously and spiritually.
Folks, if you want to dialogue with Mike Gendron, write him through his website, proclaiminggospel.org. I think you have some witnessing tools on your website, correct, Mike?
Yes, we do. We've got a couple of books that I've written, Preparing for Eternity, which is what we all need to be doing, both believers and unbelievers. I've also written a book called Contending for the Gospel. We have many DVDs and also gospel tracts to use to share the gospel. A a lot of articles, a lot of videos on our website. Encourage everyone who's interested in being better equipped to be faithful evangelists to look to our website. We have to recognize that if we are in the season of the Lord's return, there are some exhortations. We need to be steadfast. We need to be faithful. We need to be doing the Lord's business because God doesn't promise anyone tomorrow. If he comes in the rapture, then we need to be about the Lord's business before he comes. The last thing we want to do is leave our loved ones behind. Hopefully your listeners will be spurred on and encouraged and exhorted to make the most of every opportunity they have to reach the lost.
Let me just go out of the program. If you are as weary of the world's instability as I am, let me close with just two verses. Isaiah 33, 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. And God will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. You know, there is no stability anymore. It seems that everything is out of control. But if we always remember that God has everything under control, that really does help. Nothing catches him by surprise, and he's simply causing all things to fall into place. I want to thank you for listening, folks. We'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. God called you to be a part of this generation to shine a light in the darkness, to give someone a cup of cold water. So don't grow discouraged. Just know that today's events are allowing everything to fall into place.